Praise the Lord once again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Right. We are grateful unto our living God for once again such an opportunity that he had given us to listen to his word. Many are the people that had wished to get such an opportunity in worship before our living King and Savior, but they are unable. And therefore, if God has given us such a privilege to be gathered before him, that he would instruct us the right way of life, I believe it's an opportunity for us to rejoice and say, thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us. This morning, I'm privileged to share with you what I have short titled as Maranatha, meaning the Lord is coming. Maranatha, be ready. Maranatha, be ready. The Lord is coming. Therefore, it requires of us to live a life that will be worthy of his coming. That when he happens to come anytime, we won't find ourselves wanting. And the text is taken from the book of Matthew 24 verse 1 down to 51, very long chapter. But we are not going to read all. We'll be referring to parts that are maybe relevant to our sermon this morning. And a cross-reference could be found in Luke 21 and also the book of Mark 13, also give the same account. But our motivation, that also has some connotation with our topic this morning, is 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22. And it reads, if anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Oh Lord, come. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Maranatha, the Lord is coming. I believe that each and every one here doesn't want things to happen so spontaneous in their life. Every time we tried our very best to be ready for a situation. As students, when the academic year begins, we do our very best to get ready so that when it's time for exams, we'll be able to at least justify our inclusion. Likewise, as parents, all the time we do our very best not to allow things to slip off our hands or things to happen to us without us not knowing. We all the time put in our very best to be ready. To be ready for things that we are aware of and things that we are not even aware of. We all the time are on our toes to get ready for something in our lives. Beloved in Christ, as we are called by God, as people of God, if we are to live the life of love, in loving our God with all our heart, with all our strength, and loving our neighbors as ourselves, I believe that there will not be any fear of anything unknown. Even the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ will not be something that we'll be worried about. But most often, we live in fear simply because we are not ready. We live in fear simply because we don't seem to really trust what we are doing. We don't love our Father. We don't love our Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, fear had now dominated our heart. And because of that too, everything around us terrifies us. For many of us don't even want to hear of the coming of the Lord as something that is very real. Many of us have pretend that it never exists and it will never come. But I'm here to announce to you that it's going to happen. It's true and it will come. So the earlier we make our minds ready, we get ready, we get prepared for the coming of our Lord, the better it will be for us. Beloved in Christ, the Bible says something in 1 John 4:18 that there is no fear in love, But perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Just to emphasize the fact that if we truly love the Lord Jesus Christ, we will not be a case. We will not live in torment. We will not live in fear. But we'll live in perfect peace. In expectation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ's second coming. Apostle Paul re-echoed it, that if anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Maranatha, be ready. Why do we feel afraid and living in fear? Because of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we live in fear? Why are we afraid? Why don't we be in expectation? Simply because we are not ready. We are not ready of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are not ready to meet him. Should our Lord Jesus Christ decide to come right now or give us a notice per chance, some of us may probably ask for a day more to make amends. Some may probably ask for just 6 hours, Lord. Let me make amends. Some may probably even just ask for 1 hour, please. Let me make amends with you before you come. Beloved, the Lord God is coming. He's coming sooner than we ever think of. But the question here is, are we ready? Are we ready? He's calling on us this morning to be ready for his second coming. Shall we pray? Our gracious and everlasting Father, you are Lord. You are the God of all creation. This is your hour of visitation, O God. Your hour of impartation. Your hour, Lord, of deliverance, O God. Your hour of salvation. Let your word come, Lord, in a way that we will never be the same again. To renew our love for you and to help us, Lord, to be ready for the second coming of your Son, Jesus Christ. This is what we pray for in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Beloved, our text is from the book of Matthew 24. I'm just reading the very first 4 verses. It reads, then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone will be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Threefold question that was put before our Lord Jesus Christ. But before we enter into that, I want to quickly make this thing very clear, because this particular chapter is quite challenging, because there are 3 different schools of thoughts about this particular chapter. Some presenters hold on to the fact that it's talking about only the destruction of the temple and the Jewish state and nothing else. The second school of thought about it is also of the view that it's only talking about the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and nothing more. But the third and final school of thought about the same chapter is that it's talking about both. Whichever school of thought that probably you believe or you hold on to, this morning I'm not here to present on any of them. The fact is, there is something that is so important for you and I to be much aware of than probably just considering the stance of the presenters. Because if you happen to find yourself believing in the first school of thought and Christ comes and you are not ready, what is the benefit of it? If you happen to find yourself in the second school of thought and he comes and you are not ready, what then do you gain? Neither if you find yourself to be part of the third school of thought and then you still not even, you are not saved when Christ comes, what is the joy of it? And so the focus of our sermon this morning is, are we ready? What will make us ready? Whether it's about the first school of thought or second or third school of thought, the most important thing for you and I to be aware of is to be ready for his coming. That if he's to come now, you'll be ready to go with him and enjoy eternal life with him. If he's to call you to maybe come and be with him too, you will still be ready. That is the most important thing. And therefore, Christ is coming for sure. Be ready. That is the focus of my sermon this morning. Not to argue on any of those lines as to this or that. And therefore, as we look at this threefold question that is being presented to our Lord Jesus Christ, the first one being, when shall these things be? And the question that goes after that is, what things were they referring to? With a little understanding from the Bible, it was directing it to the destruction of the city of Jerusalem and the temple of God and the Jewish state. So these were the things that probably the disciples wanted an answer from our Lord Jesus Christ. Then here too, there's one thing I want us to understand. When Jesus Christ at that time was talking to the disciples, the only church that we know of is the Jewish church, is the church of Israel. At that moment, the spiritual church had not yet been born. And therefore, at that moment, the state of the Jewish church is the representative of the spiritual church that was yet to be born. And therefore, Christ referring on to the destruction of that physical church was an implication of something that is to be happened to the spiritual church. And that is one thing that I want us to understand. Because after Christ going on the cross, the physical church, in one way or the other, was dissolved. But the spiritual church, everyone who put his faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, becomes a member of the Commonwealth of Israel, becomes a member of the spiritual church of our living God. And therefore, that was one thing that we need to understand. Then the second point here is, they also wanted to know, what shall be the sign of Jesus' second coming? And the third thing is, when shall the end of the world or end of the age come? Jesus' response to address these concerns were that which I have. There could be so many things in the chapter, but for the sake of time and for the sake of this sermon, I narrowed it down to just three things that I found as being helpful to help us be ready. To help us be ready for his coming. Come what may, or no matter how, if he is to come, we will not find ourselves wanting. And so the very first one is, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ shall be preceded with tribulation. The coming, Maranatha, shall be preceded with tribulation. And therefore, it calls on us to be ready. And the text that we can refer those information from is the verse 4 down to 21. You can find a lot of tribulations that were outlined over there. And the word tribulation here is a very prophetic word, which is being used to describe a distressed kind of situation prior to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a moment of pain and agony that is supposed to come prior to the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hard times, times of difficulties, very difficult to comprehend. That was the meaning of the tribulation that was to happen prior to the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And of which we all know that Christ's emphasis in life about the things that are going to happen is that we are going to be robbed of the true peace that Jesus Christ alone gives to the world. We are going to be robbed of the true joy that he alone gives to the world. The world will rob us of God's peace and God's joy. And will replace it with artificial kind of peace and joy that which gives us a little time of excitement and a long time of agony, pain, and distress. This is what Christ predicted that the world is going to inflict on our lives. And because it's going to happen in the world, and believers, we are not outside the world. We are also in the world. We are also going to suffer the same plight. We are not going to be excused in the events that are going to cause hardship in this world. And so when you look at the Bible and you critically study that particular area, I personally came out with two forms of tribulation that were classified in that particular area. And the very first one is the tribulation in the world. The world in itself will encounter great tribulation according to the Bible. And that could be found from the verse 4 down to 8. There will be hard times in the world. There will be wars. There will be people coming pretending to be Jesus Christ to confuse the world, set the whole system in chaos. Nation will rise up against nation, kingdoms against kingdom. There will be famine, there will be natural disasters all across. The world may not have any remedy to all these situations. These are the tribulations that the Bible records that is going to happen in the world. But what does that maybe mean to us? But then Jesus Christ made it very clear, but these are not the sign of the end time. And when we see these things, he made it very clear that it does not mean that the end is at hand. But he wants us to understand that there will be these forms of tribulation in the world. And you and I will suffer likewise. That is the first dimension of the tribulation. Then the second dimension is from the 9 down to 12. It talks of tribulation of the believers. Tribulation of the saints. And the verse 9 says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. This specifically for the church. The church will be persecuted. The church will go through tribulation to the point of death. And the Bible made it very clear here that the church will suffer all those things. And we shouldn't feel worried because Christ on earth, in the book of John 15, 18 and 19, he did not hide these things from us. He made it very clear why these things will come to us. And when you read that particular chapter, it says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me first. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. We will be persecuted because of the name of Jesus Christ over our lives. The church will be persecuted because of our faith. And this is the persecution or the tribulation that confirms the fact that the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is near. If you continue to read the verse 13 and 14 of the same Matthew 24, it talks about the fact that, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. That the persecution of the church shall last for long. To the point that some people may probably be alive to see our Lord Jesus Christ appearing. Some people, some saints will keep enduring it to see the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore he emphasized that for those that shall endure to the end shall be saved. And when you read the verse 14, it also says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Then the end will come. So the Bible is telling us this morning that the persecution of the church will lead to the end. And those that shall endure to the end shall be saved. And until the gospel is preached to all nations, to all tribes, to all tongues, to all people of the earth, the end will still be in delay. But the gospel is at a high speed. The gospel is at the high speed to reach out to everyone, even those unreached in a very obscure places. But we shouldn't also forget the verse 22 also says that because of the great tribulation that shall happen, if care is not taken, even his own elect will miss out. And for that matter, he, the Lord, will shorten the time. So he's still left at his own discretion as to whether to shorten it so that many will come to him or to allow it to continue to the time that he has set for himself. He's interested of our soul and wouldn't want the times to destroy his purpose for our lives. And therefore, he had also given that option over there, that the great tribulation will be too great for the saints. And if care is not taken, for the elect's sake, he will have to shorten the time. Beloved in Christ, I came out with another point about this topic, about the indicator of probably the starting of the tribulation, the starting of the persecution of the church. And that is what probably was recorded in the verse 15 down to 28. That is the destruction of Jerusalem, of which I've made it very clear that at that moment, they were the physical church of God. But of now, we are members of the spiritual church, which has now what widened up. And so the persecution, the tribulation that began at that moment, I look at it as the beginning of the persecution of the church of God, and of which Prophet Daniel spoke about in Daniel 9, reading from 25 downwards. And the same thing could be found in Luke 21, 20 to 24, of which I want to read quickly. It says, but when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Then you jump to the verse 24. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Beloved in Christ, there are records that gives us the occurrence of this particular situation in AD 70. When the Roman soldiers entered into Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, destroyed the whole city, and led them into captive into other nations. Beloved in the Lord, for the sake of time, I quickly move on to the second point. That is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ shall be as the days of Noah. And that one too can be found in the verse 36 to 44. And therefore, it required of us to be ready. The day of the Lord's second coming is unknown. It's only known to our Father who is in heaven. No other person. And when the Bible says this, what does that mean? He then compared it with the days of Noah. And when we talk of the days of Noah, we all know that Noah warned the people at that moment for 120 years. He warned them about the flood, the destruction of the flood. And it so happened to them so suddenly that they least expect that could be true. They least expect that it could be true. And we could also see that in the days of Noah, they were eating and drinking. People became self-seeking, pleasure-seeking, enjoyment all the time. No stress. Things have to fall on easy way for us. People don't want to comply with anything. That was the very life that the people were living. They were marrying and giving into marriage. They were living their life as nothing matters in life. But I'm here to tell you that something matters to us in this life. That is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's true. He is coming. Maranatha. And therefore, if we are consumed with fame, if we are now being controlled by money, the thing that drives us is the pleasures of the world, then we better be careful. Because as it happened to those in the days of Noah, it may happen to us unannounced. The Lord will come in a way that we will not expect if we are not watchful. If we are not watchful. The Bible says something in the book of 2 Peter 3 verse 3 to 9. When Apostle Peter also re-echoed about the kind of people that will be there during the last days. He said, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens that were of old, that was destroyed by the flood, were made by God. And the existing heavens that we have now, the earth that we have now, the Bible says is going to be destroyed by fire. But the Lord our God, the Bible says that 1,000 years are just like a day before him. And a day is just like 1,000 years before him. That makes his life unpredictable. Nobody can predict our Father. Nobody can understand him. And all that is required of us is for us to be ready to comply with his ways, with his instruction, with his will and his purpose for our life, that we will save ourselves and save the people who are with us. The Lord God is coming. Beloved in Christ, we should not be comfortable with this world thinking that nothing matters. Something really matters. Maranatha, the Lord is coming. The day is much nearer than we ever think of. And in Revelation 16 verse 15 says, behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garment. Behold, I am coming. The Lord says he is coming. Maranatha, he is coming. Are you ready? Are you watching for his coming? How is the state of your garment? Is it tainted with evil, with lies, with deception, with all form of immorality? Is it tainted or is the garment that is very pure? Because he said that if we are not careful to keep our garment clean, we will walk naked and be in shame. We'll be in anguish and be in pain because he is the Lord that would apportion the part unto us. He is coming as a thief. Be thou ready. Don't be as the people in the days of Noah that took things for granted and thought as if all that they know is the life that they have, forgetting that there is a God up there who said he's coming. That leads us to our final point. That is, the coming of our Lord shall be a day of reward. It shall be a day of reward. Are you ready to receive something from our Father? Are you ready? When you read the verse 45 down to 51, it says, who then is a faithful and a wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and he begins to beat his fellow servant and to eat and drink with drunkards, the master of the servant will come a day when he is not looking for him. And at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And in this text, I mentioned two kinds of servants. The faithful and the wise servant who keeps watch of the coming of his master, who was in obedience to the instruction of his master, who was in submissive to the leadings of the instructions of his master. And therefore, the coming of his master would not elude him. It would not take him by surprise because he was all the time ready. Are you ready for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? Or you are that of the evil servant who probably may say that since our forefathers fell asleep, life has been as it is. So where lies the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? And therefore we begin to take life in his own hands and doing things that he's not supposed to do. Beloved in the Lord, which of these servants are we this morning? Are we the faithful and a wise servant who is waiting for his master to appear and reward him to be in the joy of his master? Or we are that evil servant whom our master will find us drunk, destroyed, our garments tainted with evil, with all forms of corruption in our lives? That he will cut us into pieces and then apportion us to the hypocrites, gnashing of teeth, a place of torment and agony. Are we those servants that are supposed to go to that place? The Bible says in Revelation 22 verse 20, it says, "For he who testified to this thing says, surely I am coming quickly. Maranatha, I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Be ready, beloved in Christ. For the Lord Jesus is coming quickly than we ever think of. He testified of his own works that I am coming. And as the days of Noah were, that God did not forget about his word, or God did not go contrary to his word, like manner, he will not go contrary to his word concerning the second coming. He is not a man that is to lie. He is God. He will fulfill every word he has spoken unto us. And therefore, it's required of us to be ready. Whether in tribulation or in joy, we should be ready. For the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is real. And the challenge here is, have we placed our faith in him? For Maranatha, he is coming. But he's not coming for a weak church. He's not coming for a church that is tainted with evil. He's not coming for a church that lives a loose life. He's coming for a strong church. He's coming for a faithful church. He's coming for a church that trusts in him. The church that has put his faith in him. The church that he, the Lord God, will be proud of. That is the kind of church that Christ is coming to take. We are the bride and he is the bridegroom. He is coming to take us home. How awful will it be if you are going for your bride and you get there and you find your bride in a very disturbed clothing, in a very tainted life? Would you be proud to say that is your spouse? No. As human as we are, we will not identify ourselves with such life. How much more the living God who is righteous and holy, that will just accept anything. He said we should come to him anyhow we are, and he will change us. And when we are changed, he expects us to live a life that is holy and acceptable unto him. He expects us to live a life that is perfect to his glory. In conclusion, Apostle Paul said something in 2 Timothy 4 verse 8, that finally there is laid up to me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me alone, but also to all who loved his appearing. Do you love the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Do you love him? He said, "He who does not love the Lord is accursed." Maranatha. Apostle Paul was so confident to say that our Father had laid aside a special crown of righteousness. Beloved, When you read something like this, doesn't it gladden your soul? That our Father had prepared something special, waiting to give to you as his daughter, as his son, who had lived through the tribulation, who had endured all hardness, who had passed through the test of time. Doesn't it thrill your heart? Apostle Paul was happy telling young Pastor Timothy that our Lord had prepared such a crown for him. But it's not for him alone, but to everyone who loved the appearing, the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore today, if you are also in expectation of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, there's that crown waiting for you. There's that crown waiting for you that our Father will put on you. Will say, thou faithful and a wise servant, come and live in my abode. Thou faithful and wise servant. The Lord God is coming. And today the challenge is if we will set our love upon the Lord. If we will love the Lord our God, the Bible says we will be saved. For God told Moses in the book of Psalm 91 verse 14, because you have set your love upon me, therefore I, the Lord, will deliver you. Today, if you will set your love upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Bible assures us that he will deliver you no matter where you are. His hands are not shortened. He will reach out to you in his love to deliver you. He will set you on high because you've known his name. Maranatha, the Lord is coming. Are you ready? Should the Lord come today? Maybe you are here. You don't know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've not put your faith in him. In that case, it will be difficult for you to set your love upon him. But if you trust the Lord this morning, he will give you the grace, the strength, and the courage to set your love upon him. And your life will never be the same again. He, the Lord, will deliver you and will set you on high. Shall we be upstanding even as the worship team joins me up? Shall we be upstanding as the worship team also joins me up here? And begin to reflect on the word of the living God for our life today. That Maranatha, the Lord is coming. Be ready. Consider your ways. Consider your path. Consider your transaction and everything that concerns you. Does it mean something to the Lord? Is it something that our Lord God will be proud about? Just look down to your life and talk to God this morning. If you don't know Jesus, it's an opportunity for you to make this confession before Christ and accept him into your life and live your life in admonishment of his word that your life will never be the same again. Our gracious and everlasting Father, once again we honor you, Lord, and adore you. For truly we know you are coming. Whether we believe it or not, you are coming. For your word is yea and amen. And therefore we call on you this morning to give us the heart of understanding. To give us the heart of wisdom. That Lord God, we may be able to live our life, Lord, worthy of you. That any time that you will come, we will not find ourselves wanting. Grant grace to those people that are still searching. They look undecided. Let your Holy Ghost guide them and help them to take a firm decision in loving you. Father, bless our week. Bless our families. Bless the work of our hands. And let our lives, Lord, be a true reflection of your Son Jesus Christ in everywhere we go. In Christ our Lord's name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.